Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hello, comrades. Great to have you along. 6 minutes after four as we get going in hour number two here on Thursday. And as always, your input is invited, encouraged, and welcomed. Here is how you join me. Just use the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, 71307. And my email address, bob@1063word.com. Everybody's schedule's been a little askew, as you might imagine, given our self-quarantining and all the other things associated with the Wuhan flu. But we are back on track now, and we're joined, as we typically are in the second hour on Thursday, by Drew McKissick. He is the chairman of the South Carolina GOP. Drew, welcome to the program. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well, Bob. Last time I called in, you were off playing golf. And I think the next Thursday we weren't able to be here, and the one after that I actually took the day off to go fishing with my dad. So
nice.
You know, we're even now. You took a day off and I took a day off.
It balances the equation, as it was. So here we are, Drew, just a few days away from June, just a couple of weeks away from our Republican primary. The president's daughter-in-law and one of his White House advisors, Laura Trump, was with me in the last hour of the program, and I asked her if she had any kind of update on what's going on in the dust-up between Governor Moron in North Carolina. Yeah, Governor Cooper, Governor locked down everything until we have everyone in America vaccinated or something. And the president's objection to saying, look, you know, we've got the RNC National Convention, the GOP convention. It's planned for August in Charlotte, and we would like to be able to know if we're going to be able to do things as we typically do. I mean, here we are. Yep. It's the end of this month, and we've got some time remaining, obviously, before August, when things may hopefully settle back down. You hear any jungle drums talking about this?
Well, you know, and obviously, you know, it was kind of a shot heard around the world when he started tweeting at the governor. And, you know, really the backstory there is this is about contracts. Say for instance, the RNC and state parties and so forth, you know, we have to be able to sign contracts with hotels and other venues for events for delegates and lodging and other stuff like that. Well, you know, if the governor is not going to open things up, or if this place is going to be at this capacity or this percent or whatever, well, that's going to affect contracts. That's going to affect how much money people are going to put down or not put down.
Right.
And the fact that you can't get guidance out of a guy when you've seen this event coming for virtually 2 years now is just, you know, flabbergasting. But, you know, and then to add stupidity on top of stupidity, you've had the actual editorial page of the Charlotte paper come out and, you know, oh, kudos to the governor. Yeah, stick it to Trump and the Republicans. I mean, this is their own city, for goodness sake. I mean, the Chamber of Commerce guys ought to be heading to the Charlotte Observer and strangling some editors or something.
Man, I'm telling you, because it's not like they would lose any money. How many
exactly.
Millions, maybe as much as $1 billion dollars is going to be generated by a huge event like a party's national convention.
Well, Not just that, but when you are in the economic situation that you're in now and you're trying to come out of it, well, what better shot in the arm to begin to get things up? And that's to say nothing of, for instance, taxpayer dollars that are being spent for security. I know the city of Charlotte's already received, I think, don't quote me, I think it's on the order of about $35 to $40 million that has to be spent on security. Mm-hmm. And they have, you know, officers, thousands of officers coming in from, you know, other states, bordering states and other stuff, making plans for that to provide for security.
Sure.
And, you know, you can't get guidance from the governor on this. So it's insane. And, you know, but it's not the kind of thing you can pick up and move somewhere on a dime because it's, you know, a year, year and a half in the planning. And the governor there is just being an idiot.
Yeah, and I'm sure that that's factoring into Governor Cooper's decision to just try and make it as difficult on Bad Orange Man as he possibly can.
Well, yeah.
And who knows?
Election, of course.
Of course.
The governor there is running for re-election. That's right. So he's you know showing off for his base over there. So to speak, too. So you know.
Yeah, but I mean the logistics of trying to put this thing together are nightmarish enough to begin with. I mean, let's just assume for the moment that you are coming to the convention and you're coming from, I don't know, Michigan, North Dakota, the state of Washington, the People's Republic of California.
Yeah.
This is not something where you just, as you said, pick up on a dime and make your move.
Yeah. That's right. And, well, I mean, you've heard me. I've come on your show several times and talk about volunteers. You know,
sure.
The convention host committee is looking for about 8,000 volunteers total just to bring this convention off. That's on top of, you know, paid staff and other stuff. And the state party here, as well as the state party in North Carolina, they've been leaning heavily on us for that. And by the way, if you're interested in doing that or you know someone who may be, go to charlottein2020.com. charlottein2020.com, and you can sign up. They'll put you through vetting, criminal background checks, and all that happy stuff. But, you know, particularly young folks who are interested in getting involved, it's a great and exciting thing that they can go do, providing the governor of North Carolina is going to let you do it.
And of course,
go sign up. But you know, again, that's the kind of planning that we have to do in advance for these type of events.
Right. And of course, Governor Cooper doesn't have a dog in this fight. He has no vested interest, of course,
exactly,
in trying to make it as tough on the Republicans as they possibly can. Well, we'll see how this plays out here locally in the upstate. I'm sure you're aware, Drew, and we're talking with Drew McKissick, who's the chairman of the South Carolina GOP. They are going to a virtual meeting here on the 1st of June, GCGOP using technology with a live stream on the party's Facebook page. That'll be on June the 1st, 6:50 in the evening, and the call to order at 7. And who knows? I mean, is it conceivable that this could be a precursor to the way the national convention ends up being run?
No. And we will be doing actually our state convention on June the 13th.
Yeah.
The state party will be.
Right.
We did our district conventions this way, all 7 of them. And we were forced to because of, you know, room capacities and such. But as far as a national convention, the answer is no, because actually in the Republican National Committee's rules, we have to meet in person. There's no provision for anything like that.
Right.
So there will be an in-person meeting. There's no doubt about that. We were able to handle ours because of the problem that we had to do ours in person was the school districts. They still wouldn't allow an outside group in the month of June or July. So that put us behind the eight ball because we have a schedule that we have to meet to actually elect our national delegates to provide them to the RNC. So we were up against the schedule on that, and we had to make that call.
Gotcha. Somebody texted me a while ago, Drew, and was mentioning that Lindsay, I guess, I don't know if it started today or they just noticed today, Lindsay had a bunch of ads throughout the Rush Limbaugh show preceding me here and was posing the question whether Lindsay was reacting to any primary opponents he may have. And I speculated that for the first time in a couple of re-election campaigns, Lindsay actually has a semi-viable opponent in the Democrat Party.
That's the main thing. Look, that's what's driving this, you know, and he's raising money. I say he in this case, and you know, Lindsay's definitely raising money. The opponent is definitely raising money. A lot of, you know, it's his 90% out of state money, I think, is what he's been raising.
Right.
And the issue is not whether or not there's going to be a problem for Lindsay in November. The issue is the extent that that kind of money running through a statewide Democratic candidate and through the Democratic Party is going to impact us in other places, particularly, as a matter of fact, the first congressional district, you know, down in Charleston,
right,
which we're looking to take that seat back in this cycle.
Yep.
That's where it's just, you know, it's just one more headwind, you know, we've got to run against. But it's a +9 Republican district. And recent poll that we had that was done down there a week ago had either of two of our potential Republican nominees beating Joe Cunningham by about 1.5 points.
Okay.
And it had Trump up 9-10 and Lindsey up 9-10 in his race within the first district. So,
gotcha.
You know, we feel good about that down there, but we're not going to take it for granted. I know Lindsey's not taking his race for granted at all. And speaking of Lindsey, you see what he's about to do there with the Judiciary Committee. I think on Thursday of next week, I believe it is, they have scheduled where they're going to start voting on subpoenas for some of the other folks who were involved in this, you know, Russian collusion business racket that they brought against the president since the start of the presidency. So,
well, good.
You're going to hear some howls of protest from the Democrat side.
Oh, I'm sure. But there are many on our side who say it's long overdue.
Yeah, it's time. It's time.
Absolutely.
And that's I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I find it fascinating, too, that watching the Democrat candidate for U.S. Senate, and he's running TV ads all over the place. With you, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. he's got tons of national yep. money, tons of national Democrat yep. money behind him. Nowhere That's in his right. ads. You know, he went to Yale on a scholarship, and he came back home, and he taught for a year. He taught for a whole year. He taught for a whole year. Drew.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it goes, it doesn't mention the fact
say in his ad.
Yeah, it doesn't
he
mention
did not
that he was
the word Democrat.
No, that's absolutely not going to be mentioned anywhere in his ad that the guy is a Democrat, nor do they mention that he was a lobbyist for a
right.
pretty good period
I
of time
we've,
either.
We've successfully discovered that not saying that you're a Democrat is a resume enhancement in South Carolina. So
yeah.
that's what we're learning from his millions of dollars in ads.
Well, does this mean then, Drew, that Jamie doesn't want to hook his star to the tail of the Joe Biden campaign? Or
well, you know, that's a good question. Well, look, hey, between Jamie and between Joe Cunningham down in the first district, they
right.
are going to be tied to the Biden campaign at the top of the ticket, whether they like it or not.
Yeah, you bet.
It's certainly going to be a drag on their fortunes.
Yeah, if Biden can remember what office he's running for and what state he's in, and can run some more ads about African Americans being put back in chains by Republicans. Yeah, those and talk some more about how if you're voting for Trump, you're not really black.
The question is, do they actually support the president now? Are they legitimately black? Because if they support
right.
President Trump, they are not legitimately black. We heard that from Joe Biden. Now.
Can you imagine a more insulting that you'd have to work at it? To come up with a more insulting thing to say, but Biden manages to find a way every time. Drew McKissick, the chairman of the South Carolina GOP. I think you find yourself in the catbird seat going forward, Drew. We'll see.
Well, it'll be a fun election year. That's
yeah.
the business we're in.
It will be that, and it's been an unusual campaign season so far and continues
yep.
to foreshadow what's going to happen in November. Drew McKissick, the chairman of the South Carolina GOP. Glad we reconnected today, Drew. Good to have you here.
Yes, sir. Take care now.
You bet. You Bye-bye. Too. 419 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Take a quick break here and then be right back with more. And more of your calls are on the way next here on Thursday on WORD.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
A little sampling there of the Mission Impossible theme at the beginning of the bumper. 4:25 here on the Bobby Mack Show. The Attorney General William Barr is in the Oval Office with President Trump this afternoon. The president is about to sign, coming up shortly, an executive order that will essentially tell the social media companies that when you're doing all this fact-checking stuff, you are essentially pushing one agenda over another, and you do not, even as a private company, have the right to be able to censor people's free speech. This is pretty powerful stuff. And boy, it just kind of reinforces, along with what Attorney General Barr has done in investigating the whole Russia collusion business and appointing Mr. Durham to get to the bottom of that, and all the rest of that mess, more evidence that apparently second time around, President Trump made a pretty good pick in William Barr as his AG. We'll update you more on this as the president prepares to sign an executive order on social media. Meantime, here at 26 after 4, back to the phones we go. Jimmy is along in Easley. He is the governor of Easley, South Carolina. Hello, Governor Jimmy, and welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. Thanks for listening to me. And people, please don't raise cane about this, but this is what I'm going to say.
All right.
A lot of this stuff, and I know the way it appears to be, and it might well be like the policeman in Minnesota and so on, but we just went through stuff like that with our president where people just turn stuff around. And what we got to do is men have lost their lives in this country for justice. And I mean, let's not jump the gun. I mean, I know what it looks like, and I agree with you. But there's snippets of people with telephones which can be photoshopped to look any way they want it to look. But when you go to a court where you're going to have a jury, which is going to be both black and white, red and yellow, they get a fair trial. And that's what I want for this country, because the Me Too movement, some of this other stuff,
yeah,
we're forgetting about one thing, is justice. And I like to see justice where you don't allow people to burn towns down and stuff because they see a snippet of a movie, and then they go burn an innocent person's house down because they get mad because they see a little piece. And it ought to be against the law to show that except in court.
Yeah.
For the simple reason, everybody should have a fair trial. And that's all I got to say. And I hope I don't get you in a bunch of trouble and people fire up on you. But I believe in justice. I really do.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying. Thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate the call. And I don't think anybody is suggesting that we storm the Minneapolis jail and drag these four MPD officers out and take them out and lynch them. That is not the way the criminal justice system works in this country. It is, in many instances, the way the left would like it to work. I mean, look at what they did with Kavanaugh. A bunch of made-up accusations read into the Senate record, knowing there was no validation, no truth whatsoever to the charges against Justice Kavanaugh. He was guilty until proven innocent. That's not the way the system works in America. So this officer and the other three who were with him in this incident that resulted in the death of George Floyd, I'm assuming if they are charged, will get a day in court and will let the chips fall where they may. Let's bring out all the facts and get to the bottom of what actually transpired. And if it is as portrayed in this 8 or 9 minute video of what we saw, and they are convicted as a result of that, well, then let that be the result. And if there's other evidence that we have yet to see, let's have that brought out as well. 4:30 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Take a break here, and then we're going to talk about the president and this executive order on social media. This could really be a big change in the way the Silicon Valley titans do business. Be right back here on the Bobby Mack Show on Thursday.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. 4:36 now here on the Bobby Mack Show. As expected, President Trump from the Oval this afternoon with Attorney General Bill Barr standing next to him confirmed he will be rolling out his administration's agenda for regulating speech on American social media platforms. And as you might understand, went on TV from the Oval to make sure that the media couldn't ignore this. News media, of course, focused on the latest culture war. During a live on-air report, CNBC had what appeared to be the first details of the White House's plan, which the president said would be released today. According to their report, the White House plans to empower the FCC to write guidelines for American social media companies to help them determine what content should and shouldn't be removed. You know, where they put you in Facebook jail or delete what you've posted. Notably, the plan relies on the executive branch's nearly untrammeled power over the vast federal bureaucracy. The president plans to bypass Congress and instead make changes to the 1996 Communications Decency Act, Section 230, to be precise, to account for the advent of social media to accomplish what has become a critical piece of his agenda ahead of the November election. And we all know it's as obvious, it's the elephant in the room, that all these people who are fact-checking, so-called, and censoring on these social media platforms, be it Twitter or Facebook or any of the rest of them, these companies are owned by and dominated by leftists, and they're not going to subject themselves to any conservative thought. And it is obviously an abrogation of free speech. Quickly in on the text line, 71307, about the situation in Minneapolis. Bobby, once a subject is in handcuffs, the officer is responsible for his or her safety. I can't think of any reason why Mr. Floyd would have been restrained like that. Bobby Mack, what struck me about the cop with his knee on Floyd's neck for those 6 to 8 minutes is that the officer was not doing any police work one would expect after the initial subduing of the suspect. He wasn't holding him down that way as he did the next step, completing the handcuff, searching the man's pockets, reciting his rights, nothing, but keeping his whole weight on the guy's neck. Once he's cuffed and searched, the next logical step is to get him on his feet, put him in the car, or stand him against the car until he could be checked out by the EMTs. I would agree. Hey, Bobby, when are we getting the Friday 5 o'clock Follies jingle back? Most of us are back at work now. Stand by for tomorrow. Good afternoon, Bobby. I work in law enforcement here in South Carolina, and when it comes to use of force training, dictates that the minimal required use of force is to be used to neutralize the situation. Any more after that point is considered excessive. Signed, Mr. X in the Upstate. Thank you, Mr. X. Bobby, my wife says law enforcement has a tendency to attract bullies because of the power involved. Certainly not all officers are this way, but she's not wrong. Bobby, it is not training. It is BS. Signed, former Training Academy member. And there's a repeat of the previous text. Bobby, this man from Minnesota, did he die from COVID-19? No, sadly, he did not. Bobby, every time this mayor up there opens his big mouth, the crazies get crazier. About the rioters using this as an excuse, police need to step up and start arresting these people. To the phones we go. Let's head to my stomping grounds of Taylor's and bring in Charlie next here on the Bobby Mack Show. Hi, Charlie, and welcome to the program. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Bobby. How are you doing today?
So far, so good.
Yeah. I lived through the rioting in New Haven, Connecticut, when they brought the Bobby Seals trial over there.
Holy cow, boy. Yeah, that brings back memories.
Yeah, and the Panthers were burning and looting then.
Yep.
This new case here, there's a few people that just want to get stuff for free. It has nothing to do with the person that was injured or killed or anything like that. It's just
right.
The nature of some people to want to go out and loot.
Yeah, it's true.
I also had a friend back in high school, all right, die the same way. And he was a white man, and it was a white police officer that knelt on his neck and broke it. And he complained he couldn't breathe when he was handcuffed in the back of the car going down to the station. And when he was out in the cell saying he couldn't breathe, it did nothing. He ended up dead.
Wow.
High school kid.
Man.
Yeah. Some of these police officers, like that person who texted you, hit the nail on the head. They're either out of the service and didn't get a chance to fire a weapon, so they're really ready to shoot and that's it. Or they were bullies, or they were picked on in high school and became cops. And, you know, they want to take it out on the world. It's sad because there are some very good cops out there. We do need them.
You bet.
But they do get a little bit antsy. And this very excessive, but I hope the people do calm down about this and let the law do its part.
Yeah, yeah, me too. Because that's what's going to be necessary here. And that's what happened in this previous case that I referenced in Minneapolis from 2017. Thank you, Charlie. I appreciate the call. Good to have you here. Now, flash back with me. Remember this Minneapolis police officer, now former Minneapolis police officer, a fellow named Mohammed Noor, okay? He was convicted almost exactly a year ago, June 7th of last year, convicted in the fatal shooting of an Australian woman who had called 911 for help. He was sentenced just about a year ago to 12 and a half years in prison. Noor, 33, fatally shot Justine DeMond on July 15th, 2017, after Noor and his partner responded to DeMond's call to report that she thought a woman was being sexually assaulted. Noor testified at the trial that he heard a bang on the driver's side of the squad car and thought that Ms. DeMond, a 40-year-old dual citizen of the U.S. and Australia, was a threat. The details of this case are astounding as to what he did. When he said, as he testified at the trial, he heard a bang on the driver's side of the car, and he's sitting in the passenger seat. His response was to draw his handgun, lean across his partner, and shoot this woman to death out of the open window of the cruiser. I mean, truly incredible. And as a result, he testified that he fired after seeing what he thought was fear in his partner's eyes, and after seeing a woman in a pink shirt with blonde hair appearing at his partner's window. He, as I mentioned, is now serving a 12-and-a-half-year sentence. But it begs the question, and this guy, by the way, was a immigrant from Somalia. It begs the question, what kind of screening is going on in the selection of the officers in the MPD? And what is the level of training that they're receiving? That this guy would think this is an appropriate response to lean across his partner in the cruiser and fire a shot out the window, probably deafening his partner for about a week in the process. So, and in this instance, the case did go to trial. All the facts came out, and the guy was convicted. We'll see what happens to the officers involved in the case of George Floyd. 14 before 5 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Be right back.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Well, good for Donald J. Trump. These social media outlets, which are obviously nothing but propaganda arms for the Democrat National Committee, need to be reined in. And apparently that's exactly what the president and the Attorney General, William Barr, intend to do. President going to sign an executive order that will modify Section 230 of the FCC's Decency Act, and that will place these guys in a position of no longer being able to label things like the Bill of Rights, as a caller mentioned on Facebook this morning, something that referred to the Bill of Rights being labeled as fake news. Jeez. Yeah, their fact checkers have determined that, you see. 8 before 5, as we go back to the phones, my buddy Ira joins me this afternoon. Ira, I trust your visit to the dentist the other day was successful.
Once I got my mask off.
Ira sent me a hilarious meme from the dentist office the other day. What was the title of it, Ira?
He said, open wide. I said, my mouth is open wide, but it's covered up with the mask.
And there is Ira in the dentist chair with his mask on and his dentist standing next to him. I would say he was smiling, but I couldn't tell because the dentist had a mask on, too.
Yeah. Could you tell her how I drove over there with my mask on?
Was it over your eyes?
Yeah, I wear a mask if you can't wear it right.
Yeah. Well, as we use in the show clothes now every day, Ira, who was that mask man anyways?
Now we know.
Now we do know. Great to have you along.
Thanks. The reason I'm calling is that we were asking why weren't the people who were watching do something.
Yeah.
And I got this brought back a memory, not a good one, but a memory nonetheless. It was around 25 years ago. I lived up in Rochester, New York, and I don't know what went on across the street, but sirens went down to our quiet neighborhood and finally screeched in front of them across the street. They got out and they were bothering the guy, arresting under what they were doing with the neighbor. When all of a sudden I said to my friend, who at the time he was 20 years old, I said, I wish somebody would do something. Well, he's the kind of guy you say that and he's doing it, you know.
Right. Gotcha.
I couldn't bring him back. And he went over and he says, you leave that guy alone. What's the matter with you? Well, they pinned him down with the policeman's knee in his back.
Wow.
And they held him down until they got the other situation all taken care of.
Right.
And then he released him. Didn't arrest him, just released him. And he says, don't get involved in police actions. And now he's in a wheelchair or wears crutches, you know, whenever he has a chance to move around.
Oh, man.
They did some damage to it. Yeah. So maybe it's good. I don't like people taking videos of stuff because, you know, if you can't help, just keep moving, you know. But
right.
The thing is that if you do try to get involved, you're in the middle and all the attention turns toward you.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for the people that are in the thin blue line that stands between us and the people that would do us harm, which is the job of the police, they find themselves in this kind of situation, and there's a group of people. I hesitate to use the word mob because I think that would be inaccurate. But there's a group of people that you hear and see partially in the video who are speaking to the officers. Now, some of them are being insulting to them, but they are saying, you know, look, this guy is saying I can't breathe. Why don't you let the guy up? And sadly, the reaction of the other officers surrounding him seemed to be more in the vein of protecting the officer who has Mr. Floyd on the ground than they, and nobody among the other three officers there seemed to have any concern for the suspect and the way he's being treated. It seems to me that at some point somebody needed to say to this officer, hey, look, let's get this guy up and get him in the cruiser and have the EMTs check him out. Instead of just keeping the guy handcuffed behind his back on the pavement, face down on the pavement with the officer's knee in his throat. That does not seem like an acceptable course of action to me.
No. And my friend, he went to a lawyer to sue because everyone said, oh, you have a good case here. But then when he got close to a court case, nobody wanted to touch it. Nobody could do anything with it. So,
right.
Yeah.
Sad. See that. See that a lot. Well, hopefully justice will be served in this case. And we will. It would be nice. But, you know, we live in the era, Ira, as you well know, you know, your brother involved in news media with CBS News and then with Bill O'Reilly for a long time. You guys know how media works. You know, they get the bit between their teeth and they're going to run with this thing and beat it to death. And sadly, in many instances, that precludes giving the system a chance to operate the way that it should. Thanks for the call, Ira. Glad your dental visit went successfully.
It was like pulling teeth, I tell you.
so to speak. Thanks, Ira. Great to have you here. Tough to do that dental work when you're wearing that mask, I can tell you that. Hard to get to that filling. Hour number three, the 5 o'clock Follies of the Bobby Mack Show are on the way next here on Thursday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.